Hello and welcome to the Mejlis Podcast, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's current affairs talk show focusing on Central Asia. I'm Bruce Pannier, host of the Mejlis and author of the weekly Central Asia in Focus newsletter. Gallup World Poll recently released the results of its annual Law and Order Index that rated Tajikistan the best country in the world in terms of the people's confidence in their police. The poll was based on whether people, quote, are confident in their local police, feel safe in their neighborhoods, and were victims of thefts or assaults in the past year, unquote. Tajik state television has been boasting about this rating, but there are other opinions about the situation with law and order in Tajikistan. To discuss law and order in Tajikistan, I am joined by Marius Fossum, longtime Central Asia representative of the Norwegian Helsinki Committee, and Marius is based in Kazakhstan, Mukhammedjan Kabirov, whose family was forced to flee Tajikistan to escape certain punishment for their political activities, and who is currently the host of the Europe-based Azda television that reports on events in Tajikistan. Thank you both for joining me. And Mukhammedjan, I want to start with you. What are your family, your friends had to flee Tajikistan years ago. What are your memories of the police and law and order in Tajikistan?
Well, thank you very much, Bruce, for having me here. Greeting to Marius and your listener. I was quite surprised by the, you know, Gallup polls. And when I saw this post on the Minister of Interior Affairs Facebook page on internet, I thought it might be kind of joke. And also, and I didn't take it serious. Or I thought maybe this is some unpopular, you know, Gallup. I didn't know that this is a very popular website. But regarding to your question, my opinion and memories about people confidence and trust in the police in Tajikistan, particularly, but also in post-Soviet countries. For example, any people from post-Soviet countries, when they see police, they change direction. They have kind of fear from the police officers. I remember when in 2008 I went to United States because of such a attitude and my bad experience about police. When I was chased by, you know, anytime I saw the American police, I also changed my direction without considering that I'm in the United States. So later, you know, I feel much safer, but still. This is the situation in Tajikistan. People, for several reasons, do not report to the police. One, when you report to the police, you might be bribed. You might be, maybe you are offended, but the police finally will turns against you. So, when we were living in the Tajikistan, personally, I never trusted police. I never feel confidence when the police were around me. So this is basic memories from police in Tajikistan and also in post-Soviet countries.
Okay, thank you. Marius, you've been following events in Tajikistan. You've been in Tajikistan for years now. You've been watching what's happening there. What is your opinion on this? I mean, you've talked with people. How do they view the police out in Tajikistan?
Look, I'm just as surprised as Mukhammedjan are, and I'm sure you are as well, by the Gallup World Poll. But look, I don't know who they asked. And, you know, even if the respondents said that they feel safe in Tajikistan, we don't know if they actually felt safe enough to answer the questions honestly. And why would they answer them honestly? I mean, Tajikistan is a country where you can be imprisoned just for liking something on social media. So why would you tell a stranger on the telephone anything that implies criticism of the authorities? But, you know, one thing about dictatorships and police states is that they can be somewhat efficient at fighting certain types of crime. Like even today when I visit Uzbekistan, some people will still praise deceased Uzbek dictator Islam Karimov for getting rid of crime, as they say. Now, going back to Tajikistan, if you look at overall statistics, official statistics, there is overall less crime in Tajikistan than in neighboring countries. Now, these are official statistics, however, and most importantly, they do not include crimes committed by the government. And Tajikistan's current authorities are criminal. the elites plunder the country for resources. Torture is regular in prisons and pretrial detention facilities. Critics are dealt with very heavy-handedly, as Mohammed John also can tell you about. We have documented as many as 553 cases of political imprisonment during the last 10 years. Or, you know, we could talk about the crackdown in the autonomous Gorno-Balakshan region, where at least 40 people were killed by government forces last spring. So, to sum up, I'm very surprised by the Gallup poll, and I do not think they reflect the realities on the ground in Tajikistan.
Okay, thank you. Mohammed John, you're connected to the Islamic Renaissance Party of Tajikistan. Of course, your uncle is the head of this party. The party was really part of the political process in Tajikistan for many years, from 1997 until 2015. But in 2015, things changed. What do you remember about the police? What can you tell us about police actions in 2015 or in the years leading up to it, you know, when they dealt with the Islamic Renaissance Party of Tajikistan?
Let me just share with you my personal experience. It was, I think, October 2015, when after the crackdown on IRPT, I was in Istanbul and I received information call from Tajikistan. The police station in Wahda district, they collect, they interrogated, basically captured or by force, they brought all my relatives, not close relatives, far relatives, for example, sisters of my grandfather, aunt of my grandfather, uncle of my grandfather. I'm not talking about my uncles, his uncles. And the video is public. It was a cold winter. It was snowy. And they even brought my late grandfather, which that time he was 92 years old. And I remember this narration, the police officer reported to his office. He said he's sick, he cannot walk. They said, no, bring him under any condition. So I went, that's all, 92 years old, at the police station in Wahdat, which is 20 kilometers away from my village. So they were held at the, outside at the police station for an entire day, and they were interrogated, and they give force under the, force of the police officers. They give interview on the camera and, condemn it. Their relatives, like especially against Mr. Kabiri, the leader of party. So that was the approach. And it never ended. They organized public a shaming meeting in front of our houses and other activists. They interrogated, they still continue interrogating. For example, 2 months ago, my father-in-law passed away because of he had a heart attack. And recently they called my, they invited him again, but they were not aware that he already passed away. So instead of my father-in-law, they interrogate my mother-in-law now. So this is how they approach. And it is happening like the same time when Gallup report that people are confident to the police officer or security service. And the same time people are being interrogated every day. My father can't talk to me at all since 2017 after he was arrested for 3 days. Because, there are many ways the authority using. For example, one of them, they will force you to swear by Quran. Like they will put Quran in front of people and they say, swear by the Quran, you are not talking to your son. So if he swear by the Quran, he cannot talk. Or he's not swearing, they force him, talk to your son, convince him back to Tajikistan. So this is the situation, unfortunately. And this is the confidence to the people, to the police. The second reason, because of the corruption. Whenever you report to the police, whoever pay more bribe, the police will take his side. Police never does real investigation and to support, to be on the side of innocent. They always, the money, the bribe, whoever pay more, they took his side. That's unfortunately the reality in Tajikistan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Can you talk about some of the party members and their prison sentences that they're serving right now? IRPT party members, I mean, of course.
So we could talk about the journalists, lawyers, for example. like Bzurg Mehyarov situation, Nuruddin Mahkamov. And let me tell you, for example, Tajikistan, I don't know if there are any similar experience in Tajikistan. Even people are not, you know, safe or okay inside prison. When Rahmon was attacked by eggs in Berlin, the governments reacted very fast. They went after the all activists who relatives back in Tajikistan. Beside the video recorder and also pictures were taken during the demonstration, they also had their own people which took shoot close photo pictures sent to the Minister of Interior Affairs or Security Service. And this service, they went after their relatives. For example, I heard a lot about relatives, people who were attending the demonstration. And also the worst situation are faced by prisoners. They put prisoners in solitary confinement. And then they ask for bribe. Like, for example, now they're building new prison. If you pay, for example, if you buy construction products for $1,000 or $2,000, they will release you from this isolation or solitary confinement. So these are the situation. I heard such a report from not only RPT, but also from Group 24 prisoners, from the journalists, from lawyers. And the situation, even for prisoners, are worse. The second issue, the prisoners have to buy or purchase or being brought like food by their relatives. So whenever they ask for food from the relatives, it is depend on security, prison security, how portion, half of the food or all of the food will be delivered. If the food is good, sometimes they keep for themselves. And similar issue with the medicine. So when the prisoners ordering medicine from the relatives, and many times we heard that part of the medicine kept by the security service, or sometimes they are not giving at all or delivering this medicine to the prisoners. And this is the condition of the political prisoners in Tajikistan. And also they divide the prisoner situation, like in prisoners with the inside the prison, like political prisoners, religious prisoners, criminals, and others. The worst situation or the worst punishment are subjected to the political prisoners. If you imprison it because of crimes or selling narcotics, they have better condition and situation, and not being prosecuted as much as political prisoners.
Okay, thank you. Marius, get back to you. And police have been arresting all kinds of people lately for the last almost year and a half now. Journalists, bloggers, lawyers, all kinds of people. I remember, Abdullah Gorbati, for instance. He was he's a blogger, and he was on. He had a YouTube channel. He helped this other person named Dalar Imam Ali. Abdullah was at first detained because the police said that he assaulted a police officer when he was in the police station for questioning. And people that know Abdullah have said that he's not a big guy. And they found it shocking that he would even think about, and unbelievable actually, that he would even think about assaulting a police officer. Can you tell us about some of these people? I mean, we've talked about the Islamic Renaissance Party, but it goes far beyond that.
Yeah, you're right. If you look at a picture of Gurbati, you will see that you're right. He's not a big guy. As I have mentioned, or maybe I forgot to mention earlier when I was talking about crime in Tajikistan, torture is an endemic problem. And the assaults taking place inside police stations are usually carried out by the police. And we see, according to our information, at least 11 journalists have been sentenced to prison during the last 1.5 years, including Gurbati, as you mentioned, and Khurshid Fuzilov and Zafkibe Saidamini, who was given 6 years just last year. This really looks like an attempt from authorities, central authorities in Tajikistan, to just eradicate anything that's going on, to decimate whatever remains there are of free journalism in the country, so that no one will be able to report about the crackdown in Gebel, I mean, the Gorno-Badakhshan Autonomous Region and the Karakhtonian and Tajikistan in general. And also we see that it's part of an attempt, part of efforts to eradicate any kind of journalism and civil society and even like sense of, I would say, even identity in the autonomous Gorno-Badakhshan region.
Okay, thank you. We're about at the halfway point. Time to remind that we're talking about the recent report on law and order in Tajikistan, given by Gallup World Poll, that found Tajikistan the best country in the world in terms of law and order. And my guests are Mukhamedjon Kabirov, whose family was forced to flee Tajikistan to escape certain punishment for their political activities, and who is currently the host of Europe-based Azda television that reports on events in Tajikistan, and Marius Fossum, longtime Central Asian representative of the Norwegian Helsinki Committee, based in Kazakhstan, but very familiar with Tajikistan, having traveled there several times and keeping track of it for many, many years now. Marius, I want to come back to you because you were just mentioning about torture in prison. A lot of people, since we're talking about confidence in the police in Tajikistan, do people believe that they could, Tajik citizens, do they believe that they'll be tortured in jail or in custody in police detention centers if they get picked up?
You know, that would be a very interesting topic of research for the Gallup World Poll to conduct in Tajikistan. Of course, no one would answer honestly. What we can say is that if you are picked up by the police, there is a real genuine risk that you will be subjected to torture. Moreover, if you are picked up by the police and if you're suspected of a crime, or if a criminal charge is trumped up against you, you are almost certain to be sentenced. If you look at the conviction rates in Tajikistan, they are mind-blowing. Like if you look at 2021, out of more than 10,000 criminal cases, only 10 ended with acquittal. During the first half of 2022, there were zero acquittals in Tajikistan. And now we don't have the numbers for the rest of the year, but last year was also the year they did away with perhaps the only honest judge in Tajikistan. Rustam Sadakh Mazadoho was sentenced to prison in April last year. Now, before he was picked up, he was known for dismissing unfounded cases. And as mentioned earlier, there's a lot of unfounded cases in Tajikistan, like more than 500 cases of politically motivated imprisonment in just the last 10 years.
Okay, thank you. Mukhamedjon, back to you. But again, Dozens of supporters of the Islamic Renaissance Party of Tajikistan were picked up in the wake of the government's declaration that the party had helped in an attempted overthrow of the government, which has always been very murky if there even was a coup attempt in the country. But anyway, they blamed it on the IRPT. They arrested dozens of people. How many of them have you heard of? Heard were tortured when they were held in detention before they were even put in prison.
So. The torture is part of the police system and security system in Tajikistan. They will as soon as they arrest you, will take you to the station. So the first thing before asking your name, they will torture you badly. And then they will ask for your identification or information. So from what we heard from lawyer, like first deputy of the RPT, he told to his lawyer, Zurkmeh Yorov, he was beaten up. Then Muhammad Ali Hayid, the second deputy of the RPT, deputy, the leader of the party, Muhammad Ali Hayid, we have his confession recorded by security video to his lawyer, and he was confessed that he was badly tortured. And we also have record from the RPT court when one of the prisoners saying that we were badly tortured. That's why they give for confession, forced confession. But the torture, you know, we as a journalist reporting from exile, we receive every day report from Tajikistan how illegally the citizens are being arrested, tortured, or they, as Marius mentioned earlier, police officers, they will open any case against you in order to bribe, in order to allocate money, for example, for liking, for Group 24, extremist group, terrorist organization, ISIS, whoever you think, but just this is the case of money and bribing. And depend on the cases, depend on your wealth situation, income, if you just returned from Russia. So they ask you an amount from 500 to a couple of thousands in order to release you. So this is how the people surviving in the country, unfortunately.
Okay, Marius, you were just talking about the court systems. In recent months, actually, it's been going on for years, but certainly in recent months, there's been many court cases that were where the evidence and the information being given was declared secret. And so there were closed trials. Can you talk about that? Since this report was Law and Order Index, what's it like if you end up in court and you're a high-profile suspect?
So if you end up in court, if you end up tried with a crime, not important whether or not you committed the crime and you're a high-profile defendant, you will be sentenced in Tajikistan. As mentioned, the acquittal rate is near zero. Now, you asked about evidence. Like, it's not unusual that the defense is denied access to evidence in many cases, and the state party will regularly interfere with your right to legal counsel. They will even imprison your lawyer if they feel that is warranted. And the state side will easily fabricate evidence. We have received reports of that. And in almost all of the cases that have been politically sensitive in at least the last 1.5 years, the authorities have held the court proceedings behind closed doors. So there is no access for like civil society and other independent observers to monitor the trial proceedings. So there's a lot of rule of law principles being violated every time there's a high-profile case in the Tajik court systems.
Okay, thank you. You know, I think we can keep this episode a little bit short, but I want to make sure I get all your comments in. So what I'm curious about now is that, you know, Gallup, obviously this is an annual index. Last year, Tajikistan was ranked third, right? So it was behind Kuwait and Singapore. Now it's number one. Muhammad John, do you think the situation in Tajikistan is getting better or worse in the last year in terms of law and order?
Let's just bring some evidence. For example, recently, Shohrat Ismatullayev, the deputy of the Aryan bank belonging to the Hassan Asadullah Zoda, brother of the Rahman's wife, was captured and under the torture. He lost his life, unfortunately. And when the police find out who was behind the crime, like a deal shot, say Muradov and Rustam Ashurov. So, you know, the police took in hostage the mothers of the criminals. Can you imagine? Is this the legal way how to arrest or, you know, bring to the justice the criminals by the way to punishing their relative, for example, their mothers, their relatives, in order to forcing them to return back to Tajikistan? So Rustam, he was shot down by the police at the airport in Kishinev, but Dilshod was arrested in Moscow. And, you know, he was extradited by the Minister of Internal Affairs. So the police is not only persecuting people inside the country, but also they are working with the foreign state to illegally extradite those people. And unfortunately, this is kind of competition between security forces and the Minister of Internal Affairs, who extradite more people or more activists from abroad to Tajikistan. And whoever brought, you know, this is kind of bringing gift to Rahman, showing that you are active, you are supporting his regime, and in order to be rated or to be given a medal or, you know, or to regain higher position in the system. This is the situation we're facing in Tajikistan. So comparing to the police, that's really weird. I could understand Kuwait police, and we don't hear that much about police offense to their citizens, or Singapore, like the most democratic country, one of the most popular and democratic country and developed country in the Asia. But Tajikistan is poorest country in post-Soviet, and I don't think the confidence to the police in Tajikistan are better than Azerbaijan or Georgia or even Kyrgyzstan. As I said, we have phobia against police. Whenever we see a police officer, we run away. We change our direction. We just escape. We never report to the police because we don't know the outcome. We also afraid as a citizens, if we report to the police, we might be bribed by the police or the case gonna turn against us. Like you complain to the police, other side will just bribe more and he will be, charged or fined. And we saw at the car accident a lot of issues or report when the son of the ministers or elite are during the car accident killing innocent people. They never will face a judgment and they never end up in the court. Or even if they are in the court, then they will be imprisoned in Tajikistan. So I don't know what kind of pulls this, like Tajikistan is better than Singapore and Kuwait. I don't think they are even close to each other, these two, these three countries, in the confidence to the police. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Marius, over to you. Tajikistan's gone up to number one in the last year. What's your recollection of law and order in Tajikistan in the last year?
Well, if we are to compare like 1 year ago, or rather during 2022, authorities arrested hundreds on trumped up charges in Gordon Balakshan alone. This year, there have been less people for them left to imprison and arrest and harass. So from that point of view, of course, yeah, the police there have been less violations from the hands of the police this year than last year. Does that make the police in Tajikistan the number one police in the world? No way.
Okay, thanks. And I'll let you guys each have a last comment if you want. But I'm just curious, when you hear the words law and order and the word Tajikistan, what comes to your mind? Marius, I'll start with you.
When I hear the term law and order together with Tajikistan, I basically think of the lack of accountability for criminal government officials. And we at the Norwegian Helsinki Committee have for years been calling for Magnitsky-style sanctions against key government officials complicit in terrible and gross human rights violations in Tajikistan. Now, these people, of course, should, in an ideal world, serve out prison sentences. But since that's probably not going to happen anytime soon, like Magnitsky-style sanction is at least some form of accountability. And, you know, when the Ministry of Internal Affairs violently cracks down on protests and dozens are killed in Gordon Balakshan, you know, there are concrete named government officials who are responsible for this. It's not so difficult to put them on a sanctions list. There is, for example, a Minister of Interior or head of the Gordon Balakshan Police Directorate. It's very easy to find these officials.
Okay, thank you. We'll come out, John. What do you hear the words law and order and you hear the word Tajikistan? What do you think of?
That's a tough question. We don't have a law order, or in Tajikistan, we say the law is only for the ordinary people, and the officials, the government officials, the elite are not responsible to this law. They are not accountable to this law. So this law is law order are only for controlling the ordinary people in Tajikistan. That's how, you know, when we hear this, how, and also we say, listen what Mullah says not to do as he's doing. So same thing, like the police could break the law. The officials have right to break the law and not be punished, but the ordinary people will be punished or will be illegally tortured or arrested by the order of law in Tajikistan. And as Marius mentioned, we have several cases when the police arrested people, they died under the torture in Isfara city, we know, and we know who was the police, like a head of the police office in this region, in district, in Wahdat region, if you remember, the young guy who was tortured because of his beard, and he passed away in the police office station. In Kolab recently, like last year, he arrested, I don't remember his name, but he was dead during the torture in Badakhshan, as Marius mentioned. And we have a lot of evidence. This is the minimum. So I am using this platform and calling on the Western country, the diplomats who might be listening to this conversation. I encourage them to adopt Magnitsky sanction, targeted sanction. I never called on general sanction in Tajikistan. I don't want my people to suffer. I only call for targeting sanction, smart sanction, to bring the justice, the criminals, the human abusers, the perpetrators. So once again, I'm using this opportunity and calling on the Western diplomats to adopt sanctions for human rights abuser in Tajikistan and against human rights abuser in Tajikistan, especially police force and the security services and prosecutors who illegally imprisoned and tortured people in Tajikistan. Thank you very much, Bruce, for having me. And I hope Gallup polls will do better polling next year.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Muhammad John, and thank you, Marius, for being on the program. I'll be interested in seeing where Tajikistan ranks next year also. And a big thank you, as always, to Nathan Shoemaker, our Mejlis podcast producer in Washington, D.C. And a reminder, you can subscribe to the Mejlis podcast or the Central Asian Focus newsletter by visiting Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's website at rfarl.org. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.